my phrase that I should get tattooed is, if it's not in the product feedback form, it didn't happen. Both internally and our customers, they have access to be able to submit feature requests. And that product feedback builds out our sort of master list so that we can go and say, what does the market want? What does our specific customers want? And that influences our decisions.
Hey, I'm Cody Bernard, and you're listening to Getting to Market, a show that gives you an inside look into what it takes to successfully launch a new product. In each episode, we'll chat with go-to-market leaders about how they go to market, covering the tools, tactics, and tricks that they use so you can take your own product launches to the next level. And for my guest today, we have Tom Bennett, Senior Manager of Product Marketing at Bullhorn. Today's episode is brought to you by theproductlaunchmasterclass.com. This is the product launch course for product marketers that need help transforming their launches into their CEO's favorite marketing weapon. It was created by my former colleague, Dan Murphy. Dan ran product marketing at Drift and is now running brand and product marketing at Privy. Over 150 product marketers have taken the course and learned Dan's proven launch framework. You can check out their reviews of the course at theproductlaunchmasterclass.com. Now, the course normally costs $99, but because you're a listener of Getting to Market, you can get it today for only $59. All you have to do is use a promo code GETTINGTOMARKET, all one word, all caps. Again, that code is GETTINGTOMARKET, all one word, all caps. Visit theproductlaunchmasterclass.com right now to get this course. So with that, let's get into today's interview. I'm here with Tom Bennett, Senior Manager of Product Marketing at Bullhorn. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Cody. Great to be here.
Good to have you. Tom and I actually have such a good backstory because Tom and I got our start in product marketing together, both getting into the field back in 2013.
2014 for me. I was a month after you, but oh man, what a journey that first year.
I know. And I'm still going to hold that over you forever, is that I have technically 1 month more experience than you do.
Oh, I'm well aware.
Well, it's been a wild ride. I mean, it's been about 3 or 4 years since I left Bullhorn, and Tom has completely revamped all of the stuff that I did to make sure that the company operates at a much faster, better, and more optimal clip. So I know that it's been an awesome journey for you there. How long have you been there for now?
Yeah, so in January, it'll be 7 years, which I think is a lifetime for a product marketer. But you know, I get asked all the time, like, why are you still at Bullhorn, right? 7 years, it's a long time. And you know this well, because we started 7 years ago, that our company has changed so much in the last 7 years. We've grown from roughly 200 employees, I think, when we started, to over 1,000. So every 6 months, it's a different business. It's a different product. It's a different product portfolio, at least. And so continually changing and evolving, like, that keeps me interested. And yeah, it's been an exciting ride, and like, there's no end in sight, which is great for us.
Right. So give us a little bit of context. What does Bullhorn do?
Yeah, good question. So we help staffing and recruiting firms grow their business. That's like the high level phrase. The industry that we serve is staffing and recruiting, which I didn't know before I joined Bullhorn anything about that industry. And it's actually a really cool sort of niche, because at the end of the day, our customers, they help people find jobs, right? They help put people to work. And we're the underlying technology that powers their business. The sort of recruiting platform and the products that we deliver help them be more efficient, help them build relationships with candidates and clients. And we've continued to evolve our product portfolio to serve different and more complex needs.
How many products do you guys have?
You know, good question. And it's hard to measure at this point. What's a product? What's a solution? What's a feature? I would say we have productized really kind of over 15, maybe 20 things, which is huge compared to just basically one product when we started six, seven years ago.
Right. And you guys made some acquisitions along the way, especially over the last few years. So did you incorporate those into your product suite as well?
Yeah, definitely an acquisition growth strategy, as well as sort of internal product development. And, you know, making sense of that has been a product marketing focus for how do we talk about these new products? How do we make it clear to the market what our strategy is? Why did we make these acquisitions? How do they fit into the sort of strategic direction of the company? And so certainly added companies and products through acquisition and through our own development.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think for the purpose of this podcast, the goal is to look at a specific product launch and break that down and try to figure out exactly what works, what doesn't, identify different frameworks to use and tactics to give listeners, you know, just a good idea of how to go about their next product launch. But we could talk all day about all those products that Bullhorn offers and even the acquisitions that you've incorporated into the product suite. But what I want to focus the conversation on today specifically is probably one of the most important concepts for any go-to-market strategy, and that is the recurring product release. So whether you're shipping new products on a weekly or monthly basis, I would love to know how Bullhorn goes about doing that, because I mean, you guys have had an insane growth trajectory over the last few years. And I think a lot of that is due to the fact that you serve your customers really well, and you always make sure that you're providing them with the products that they need to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true. It's really easy as a product marketer to focus on just product launches. And by that, like new product launches. You know, your last two guests have talked about that, and I'm excited for future episodes to see how do companies bring a brand new product to market? How they talk about it, define it, et cetera. All the cool sort of nerdy product marketing things. What's equally as important, but way less fun to talk about, is just recurring product releases, because in a SaaS business, your goal is to drive value and innovation for your customers. And you have to do that by continually iterating your product. It's not just launching brand new products. And so getting that right, first of all, is really hard. But second of all, it's really important, because your customers need to know what's happening, how is it going to change how I operate, and ultimately, what value is it going to drive for me to go through the change management to sort of adopt that new way of doing it. And so it's a huge internal effort. It's important to get the external communication correct. Sometimes it's easy to push aside in light of an upcoming product launch, but you know, as we've talked about before, it's really important to get it right.
Right. And that's something that I used to own, that I stood up the process when I was at Bullhorn way back in the early 2010s. And I'm sure it's come a long way since. Where does it all start, the product release process?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easy to start with what is it, right? Like, what is being released? And I think for some context, just at Bullhorn and how we operate, we release new products every 4 weeks. And so that results in 13 different sets of releases, right? And so we have to communicate 13 times a year what we did, why we did it, and who it's relevant for. And as I mentioned, across all of our different product lines, that ultimately ends up resulting in a bunch of different communications, because we have different customers on different products that care about different things. But it starts with the sort of roadmap. What are we actually building, and how did we get there? And you know, it's obviously the funnel metaphor comes to mind, as far as you have a huge top end set of ideas, right? Things that we could go build, things that customers have asked us to go build, potentially bugs that people have asked us to fix, right? It all goes into the mix, because it all takes development resources. And so the way we talk about it is, first and foremost, it's customer feedback, right? That's what drives what we're going to go and build. And I think any good organization should be built that way. My phrase that I should get tattooed is, if it's not in the product feedback form, it didn't happen. Both internally and our customers, they have access to be able to submit feature requests. And that product feedback builds out our sort of master list, so that we can go and say, what does the market want? What does our specific customers want? And that influences our decisions. I went and looked at it, and in 2019, we had just short of 3,600 product submissions. And so you can imagine that scale of product feedback. You know, people aren't quiet about what they want and the feedback they have in product. And so as a good organization, you have to listen to that product feedback and execute against it.
That's wild. 3,000 requests?
Yeah, 3,596.
So how does the product feedback form work? Where do customers find it, and what information do they have to fill out? And then from there, how do you take that and try to rationalize, okay, this is what we need to go build next?
Yeah, so a couple different tools and buzzwords. We have a customer portal, and the customer portal is sort of the centralized location for a customer to go and look at you know, what we've released in the past, and kind of go back and look at the track record. On that same page, there's a submit product feedback button. And so customers can go and say, hey, for this product, I'm having this situation. I'd like this to change and here's why, and here's the impact to my business, right? Like submit that quick form. It's not overly complicated. It's literally a Google form that populates a Google spreadsheet for us to look at. There's also, and this is really important, is our support and our PS and our customer success and our sales organization, they also have an internal form to submit product feedback on behalf of customers. I'm sure everyone has that example where the customer says to the sales rep, I want this to happen, but they're not going to go themselves to the form, right? They're lazy for any number of reasons. They're not going to submit the form. And so it's important to give our internal employees a way to submit that. And it's almost 50-50. I was looking at the split. It's almost 50-50 getting feedback from customers directly as it is to getting it from internal internal folks. Are you something similar as far as that split?
Yeah, so we actually, our feedback is basically given directly from customers and the conversations that our CSMs are having, and then also on the sales side, what they're hearing from prospects. And I think you do need to find a good balance because you will need to be able to win over new customers if a certain set of features doesn't exist. But there is definitely more emphasis put on building for the customer because at the end of the day, the customer is put at the center of everything that we do. We want to make sure that they're as successful and happy as possible. And a lot of the time, there's a ton of overlap between what the customer and the prospect is actually looking for. So we don't really ever have to make those trade-offs, but they do come every now and then.
Yeah. And like the couple other things, like you mentioned, that always find their way in, something like tech debt, you know, as a company that has acquired a bunch of companies, built a bunch of new products, at some point in our evolution, you know, there's things that just need to be addressed, right? Flash is going away. We need to make a change. Customers might not be submitting a feedback saying, hey, I don't want Flash anymore, but we know we need to do that. So we also just need to be sort of aware of the environment. How has technology evolved? And are there other things that we should be taking advantage of? Maybe not from a customer request, but just a good product team is always sort of monitoring those things. We then also use Jira and we use Aha. And I think both serve a really specific purpose. Jira is more on the technical side for our dev teams and our product owners to see of all the stories and tickets, how could they be grouped together? What customer problem would they be solving? How do I, like, from a technical perspective, how do I organize all of this, all of these requests, right? We mentioned almost 3,600 and obviously other resources as well. And then Aha, I've found to be a massively helpful tool for our business because the biggest benefit that I've seen is that it provides visibility. One of the biggest challenges from an organization to scale product releases is to know what's coming, right? If you're surprised by a product development or a product launch or a new feature, like you are not just like a day behind, you're now weeks behind. And so Aha has given a ton of visibility across the organization, and not that everyone has access to it, but the folks that do need it have it. And it's great to go in and see, oh, like I actually didn't know that that had been moved up 3 months. Like that's good to know because I should kick off. How am I going to enable people? What does that change from a packaging perspective, et cetera? And so that visibility, which is sort of the high level summary of all the detail that lives in Jira, has been great as far as planning and getting alignment across the business.
So that's really interesting. And this is hitting really too close to home for me on this part about this concept of truly knowing what's coming and when so that you can prepare and make sure all the internal teams are ready for it. When you think back to building out the roadmap, specifically using that form and all the requests that are coming in, what's product marketing's role? Do you help put feature requests into themes? Do you rely on the product team to do that? How does that work?
Yeah, so we do a quarterly roadmap update. I say we, it's a collaboration across product marketing and product management. There's obviously, both of us really care about that, right? I think product marketing owns the sort of thematic storytelling of it, the customer impact, and product management owns the detailed level of like, what are we actually doing in the next 3 months? And so each quarter, product marketing updates, we're actually doing it right now, a sort of set of customer-facing slides that we're going to end up arming the customer success and the sales team with to talk about what our strategy is going forward and how those come together. And so the output is a product marketing, product management sort of deck. But a bunch of people have influence in adding value for one, what the items are that get prioritized, and two, how we talk about it. One of the things I wanted to highlight was we now do a product release meeting internally where the product team says to the business, hey, here's what's coming in the November release, right? And it used to just be a pretty small meeting where it's like this feature, this feature, this feature. Almost nobody went because it was really product focused, maybe support, and that was kind of it. Now it's gotten, since you've left, like that is a really big and important meeting to get alignment across the business. As we've grown, it's harder to communicate, right? When somebody was in the office next to you, it's easy to say, hey, we got that feature coming. When your colleague is across the globe, or you don't know your colleague yet because you've grown so fast, those kind of meetings become really important. And the visibility has been great. So every month, the product team goes through, here's what's in the November release, and that deck and that recording get shared out across the business, literally in the Corkball channel on Slack. Here's what's coming. And it allows groups to provide feedback and context into why that was an important release.
And then it's up to the actual employee, the CSM, the sales rep, the marketer to go and watch that, right? Like it's not like mandated, but it's available and it's made known that this is a resource that you guys can use to know what's coming next.
Yeah, like so the leaders in every department are open invite to that meeting to come live where they can ask questions and push back on anything if they need more clarification. And then beyond that, once the content is shared out, you know, it's on those teams to communicate downstream, make sure that everyone in the organization is aware.
And then so this monthly release meeting, is what you see in that meeting always consistent with what you talk about at the beginning of the quarter when you're doing your planning?
Yeah, it's a little bit more tactical. So the sort of quarterly roadmap planning is, are we all aligned that if a customer asks an account manager when insert feature is going to be available, that they should say Q1 or February or second half 2021, right? Like the big kind of picture items, like what are we actually being asked about? So think more AHA than JIRA as far as like kind of big items. Are we aligned on like timelines, right? And do we have a good strategic narrative to say, here's where Bullhorn is investing, right? We should have that answer in the back of our hand to say, well, it's these categories, right? Candidate engagement is really important to us right now. Here's what that means. Here's the kind of big items underneath that. And here's our expectations to set your expectations. First half 2021 for this, second half 2021 for that. And we adjusted each quarter because, as you know, timelines shift and roadmap changes. 3,600 submissions, right? Our priorities are constantly shifting. And so we align on that for the quarterly roadmap deck. For that meeting internally, it's often a lot more tactical. It is, hey, this specific bug was mentioned by 8 clients. And so PS and support, I know you're on the call. Like, this is a big one. Let's make sure to communicate it back out to those clients. Or here's a feature that's coming and phase one is to enable this setting, but it's not yet ready. So don't actually kind of touch it, but we need to communicate that it's coming. And so it's kind of aligning a little bit more tactically.
That's interesting. So how do you go about releasing features that might come in waves? Is that something that will always go out with the release, or will you hold it back and gate it from customers so that, you know, you can make a bigger splash when the full feature is ready?
Yeah, that's always, you know, I wish there was a more standardized answer to that. I think everyone might sort of nod their head and say, yeah, I do. This happens for us as well. It depends, which is the most annoying answer, but it depends because you don't want to get it wrong, right? If you're building a new feature or a big feature or building a new product, you want to do those things where you have customers test it. You want to get feedback on it before you announce it. Those kinds of things are true. It's also pretty hard to get the organization to move along on something that's coming and get them really excited about it because it is really cool, but also be like, well, don't talk about it at all yet because we're not ready to, you know, we're not ready for beta, or we don't even have a prototype for early access, those kinds of things. I would say that our business model has evolved a ton in the last 5 years to really accommodate more of that sort of defining how we sell ahead of the feature or product being available. right? 5 years ago, it was like, we're building this new feature. We're just not going to really talk about it until it's done. And then when it's done, we'll announce it and we'll give it to people. Now we're tackling such sort of big strategic problems and opportunities for our customers that we actually need to start the conversation way earlier, because we want our customers' feedback before we actually deliver something out of the box, right? We want to say, hey, we recognize this thing and we want your feedback and input as we bring it to market. So let's talk about your problems. Let's show you some early designs. Let's get a bunch of feedback. And now we're sort of getting more detailed in how we approach customer feedback before we actually have a product or a feature.
So how does that work, or when does that happen in the process? Like, let's say if you're focusing on a November release, when does that work happen? Is it more in October? Is it more in September? Or does it depend as well?
It does depend. But what I'd say is it's important to just define what you're saying, because what I mean by that is we could set forth this idea for a candidate portal, right? That's something that we're going to be talking about a lot at Bullhorn over the next year. And immediately, if I say candidate portal, 25 people have 25 different understandings of what that means, right? And the feature sets are drastically different. So it's actually not good enough to just say the candidate portal is coming in November or beta starts in January. I actually can't say that until I make sure everybody has the right definition of what I'm talking about. And so I put a lot of effort into defining like phases, right? Hey, we're building a candidate portal. Here's how we're planning to bring it to market. Phase one, it's going to be for existing customers in this market to solve these problems. I'll paint the vision of what it looks like a year from now, because that is our guiding strategy. And I want you to know that and be able to talk to that about customers. But I can't just say the portal is beta in January, right? I have to talk about the context of what I mean. So there's a lot of upfront education, if that makes sense.
No, that definitely makes sense. I think it's really hard to try to get that right or to try to standardize that entire process, because the product development process in general is just so fluid usually. At least that's what I've seen at a few different organizations, where if you try to put too much structure around it, you're going to limit innovation, and innovation both from the product development team who's building it, but also the feedback cycles that they're getting from customers as well. So it's a tough balance to strike. And I think that there's no real right answer. It's more of like, does this work for your business? Great. Does it work for your customers? Even better. And if both of those things are true, then I think you're doing something right.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been trying to push a lot with our sort of sales organization is reframing the question that you're asking either product marketing or product management. I would say the old way of approaching it is, hey, when is insert product going to be GA, right? That's the question I'm sure every product marketer has been asked. The way I'm trying to reframe our sales and account management teams to ask the questions is, hey, I have insert customer problem. Do we have an approach to solve that? Do we have a strategy or a product? And that is a much more collaborative effort, because when somebody says, is the candidate portal GA? It's way harder to answer, because then I have to educate on the context and I have to make sure that we're on the same page with V1 and future enhancements, et cetera. If you say, hey, my client wants the same login for this product to be, give them access to this product, I can way more strategically answer and say, that's 100% part of our strategy. We don't yet have exact timelines, but like, yes, we'd actually be happy to engage that client who has that problem to make sure that what we're building is going to solve their need. That's been a big shift.
Yeah. And it's funny that you bring that up too, because when you think about big product launches, you're like, okay, great. We're solving one huge problem. That also goes into when you're looking at a monthly product release, the feature that you're releasing, it's like, you should still have that same mindset, because at the end of the day, what you're doing is you're building product to solve that problem. And it doesn't matter if you're launching some tier one launch or some tier three feature, it's at the end of the day, it's still going to be impactful to the customer. And you want to make sure that that messaging is on par with the value that it offers.
Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say there is around transparency. So I think there's a natural inclination to sort of withhold information a little bit, right? When you're talking about roadmap, and we've all been burned with like the, it's coming in Q1 and then it doesn't come, right? We've all done that. So there's a natural inclination. I think it's been taught from an early time, hey, maybe like, you know, pad the dates or don't share timelines, right? We all kind of fall into that trap. What I'll say is If you have a product strategy that's well-defined and you can articulate your product strategy, timelines and deliverables are less important, because if a company knows what your product strategy is, then the roadmap will fall in place for them. And the word that comes to mind for me is really transparency. So we've been having a bunch of conversations, you know, top of mind for me right now with customers where we're saying, hey, here's the direction that we're going, and it's going to come to life over time. And the sequencing of feature A versus feature B has not been finalized. Like, we're just going to be upfront about that. But we know that you have this problem, and we know that we're solving that problem. So let's actually like align on, and to use roadmap in a way that might be confusing, let's align on a roadmap for you, like clients, that's helping us engage in understanding your problem. And that's been such an awesome experience, because clients understand that, right? They know that it doesn't take 3 months to build an incredible product that's full featured. But they know that that partnership and that process is really important.
Right. So let's take it back a little bit to earlier in the conversation where we talked about the product feedback form and getting all of that awesome insight from both customers and internal teams to build out the roadmap for the monthly releases. How do you go and categorize what features are put into that form, and how do you go about building out basically a calendar of when they're going to be launched?
Yeah, I mean, look, I wish I could say every single one of those 3596 submissions gets exactly categorized and processed through a machine that tells us exactly what to prioritize. I think we all know that that's not a reality. What is a reality and a way to scale using that feedback is to leverage that information to either support or question hypotheses that you have. And so if you say, hey, I think that this market or this type of client, I think that we should explore candidate engagement in that area. Okay, great. Let me go to the product feedback form, this wealth of knowledge, and control F engagement, right? And see what are people asking for, what are people struggling with? And I can start to group things together. Vice versa, this is something that we were chatting about, is when a customer says, hey, I want this product to have this feature. Why doesn't it have this feature? You know, you hear the question and you're kind of like, well, maybe they're like very right. Like, maybe I have no idea. Maybe I don't know. Go to the product feedback form, search for what they're looking for, and see if other clients are expressing the same thing. If you quickly find 6 or 7 submissions where clients are sort of talking about the same thing, you go back to that client immediately and say, hey, thanks for raising this. We're also seeing this from other clients, and I'm gonna talk to the product manager tomorrow to see if there's something we can do about it, because there's clearly like a theme here. Alternatively, if you go and search a product feedback form and there's absolutely nothing, no one's asked for that, it's very like obscure, you actually can go back to the client confidently and say, hey, I understand that this is important to you. I don't want to undermine that, but I've gone and looked, and we actually don't have any other customers that are requesting this. I wonder if there's a different way to solve this than what you're asking.
Right. It doesn't mean you won't necessarily build it, but at the same time, you could position it as a way to say, like, well, let's see if there's a more general way to solve that problem that other customers can get value out of as well.
That's right. And as a product marketer, I love being armed with that data, right? Sometimes you're just like qualitatively saying like, oh, maybe we'll prioritize it, maybe we won't. It's so reassuring to go back to a client and say, I looked into it, right? And I actually can tell you that no other clients or internal folks have raised this same issue. So this seems to be unique to you, Mr. or Mrs. Customer. Let's dive in a little bit more, because maybe it's not what you think it is. It's such a confidence boost before you get on a call with a client to be armed with that.
Does product marketing have a say of when things are going to get released, or is that something that you work in tandem with the product team on?
It depends. It's a collaboration for sure. And you know what I would say is that the role of product marketing is, I'm sure, different at every single company. You can hear it in the interviews that you have. And I would say that while the roles are different, the influence is probably different as well. Bullhorn has advanced, I would say, the role that product marketing plays, because while we have a huge product organization and a great sales organization, like sometimes the role of a product marketer to help make sense of 3,600 requests and or competitive alternatives for a specific market segment to help influence where we're going, or to just simply translate what a sales rep is asking for that a product manager might not understand, that role has sort of increasingly become more important. And I'm happy to say that, you know, we're a strategic partner in defining what is a priority, where should we be heading, and what inputs can I provide that will help make that decision easier. That's not to say I come to a meeting and say, I want this feature and it gets on the roadmap, but I know that I'm able to voice, you know, with data, reasons why we should explore certain categories.
Right, and that's all any product marketer can ever ask for, is it's more of like, I just want a seat at the table and I want to make sure that the insights that I'm bringing to the table are going to be taken into account when we think about building the roadmap.
That's right, and to bring it back to AHA, for me to be able to go and look passively, what, you know, what is product management thinking for the next 3 months? If I see something that doesn't make sense, it might be because I have the context of a specific client in mind, or I've had 5 conversations in a row where something got brought up and I don't see it on AHA. It's then easy to go back and engage the product management organization, not with a complaint or a cry for getting attention. It is very much, hey, you know, I was surprised to see that this feature hasn't been prioritized. Like, I've had 5 conversations that seem to think that's really important. Are you guys seeing something different? And just being open about it, that transparency and visibility has been huge.
So when you do have something locked in where you guys have agreement with product that, hey, this is what's going to be in our November release, what does the go-to-market look like? What is the role of product marketing play?
There's a difference between sort of the quarterly roadmap that we create with a deck that we're going to arm the sales team. There's a difference between that and the monthly release email that gets sent out to customers. So we'll talk about that second first. The product owners, the product managers, they're the ones living in Jira, the details of what's happening. It gets bubbled up to the product management level where a manager or product lead is saying, okay, here's how we're going to sequence the release and here's what's in, here's what's out. That detail for what we're building and why we're building it gets put into a presentation that's presented at that monthly product monthly meeting to say, here's what's in the November release. Someone on our marketing team, our customer marketing team, writes up an email, says, hey, giving you a heads up, here's what's in the November release, bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, pulls from the information in Jira that leads to kind of like why we're doing it, right? What problem did it solve? And so we have a list of what we're doing. Product marketing then looks at that email and says, is that the right way to communicate what we're doing? One, are these the right things to communicate? You know, there may be 50 small things in this release. Are these the right 4 to highlight? And is this the right way to just write it? Is somebody going to read this and say, got it, right? And is that relevant? And then product management reviews that email one more time and that gets sent out. And so it's a good collaboration across marketing, and product management. It happens every single month and it happens just in time, right? It happens the day before the email goes out, the release is getting finalized.
Of course it does.
Yeah. And so sometimes there's some last minute changes, right? That happens. But you know, we've got this process in place and everyone knows their role. And when you get an email asking to review the copy, it's not a surprise, you're expecting it. And so, yeah, it's a big collaboration.
What else outside of the email, how do you communicate these releases to your customers? Do you guys have any sort of in-app mechanism? You mentioned that you had the portal before. Do you post anything like release notes up there? How do they consume these updates?
Yeah, so certain contacts at every company designate themselves as the people that want the email, right? Whether it's leaders or technical teams, whatnot, they get an email every month with the release notes. Again, it's typically just the highlights, like here are the 4 things, but if you want to go look at 10 bugs that we fixed, you know, here's the list. The master list of what's in the release is posted to the customer portal, which all of our customers have access to, and so they can go and review. We've definitely tried different in-app solutions, and I think a lot of people would agree it's hard to scale in-app communications, and it's you know, especially with multiple products and different user types, and it can get quite challenging. And so I think we've seen some products have more success than others. For example, we acquired a company last year, much smaller customer base, but really highly engaged customers. And they do more like chat in-app type updates to notify somebody of a feature. And you know, we're constantly looking at the companies that we acquire and partner with for what's working there, maybe what can we pull, and how do we scale that to make it accessible to, you know, thousands, not just hundreds.
Yeah, in-app communication has always been interesting because I feel like in my experience, whenever I've done that, it's only been about like 50% of our users are actually seeing the message. And that's what I think, like they clicked on that little icon that shows the updates. And it's just one of those things where it's really tough to measure because unless you can actually tie that back to usage within that group, it makes it really difficult to see like, okay, was this actually a success or did they actually get the message that I was trying to get across?
Yeah, I think signal and noise is really hard here, right? Because you put up a little ping for a feature. Hey, did you know this thing now is here? And they might ignore it. Okay, is that because you built the wrong feature or is that because that user doesn't benefit from that feature or they just spilled coffee on themselves? Like there's so many factors and it's hard to see through the signal, see through the noise to find the signal because it's so contextual, right? Like in that moment when they saw that button, was that actually the right time to communicate? It's hard to know. And so, yeah, it's difficult. I'd say that's something that we're still trying to figure out.
Yeah. And I think like that's going to be the case for a while. And I mean, there's no silver bullet. There's no right answer. But so just to recap, we have the product feedback form that helps fuel the roadmap. You basically take all of that information, work with product to build out at least a few months in advance a pretty detailed feature roadmap or even product roadmap. Then what you do is you have a monthly product meeting where you walk through the current month's release, and then you put together some communications that you send out to your current customers. Did I miss anything on that?
No, that was it. And I think what was evident in you recapping it is the importance of who the audience is for each of those things, right? The strategic roadmap is put together for sales and account managers to deliver to business owners. So it's relatively high level. The product monthly meeting to discuss the November release is very detail oriented and goes into detail. The product feedback form is the master list. It gets categorized into Jira and presented at a high level through AHA. At each stage, we're sort of interpreting it correctly for whoever the audience is to consume that information.
Right. So what are the biggest challenges with this product release process?
You know, what's funny is, so because we're now a much bigger company with multiple products, I would say one challenge is ensuring that you're communicating the right information to the right people at the right time. Like it sounds pretty simple, but you know, everyone has messy CRMs and acquisitions don't make that easier. And so knowing who the right people are at an organization to get the message, clearly communicating what that message is and how they need to consume that and giving it to them at the right time. When you're on a 4-week release cycle and the releases are finalized pretty close to that announcement, sometimes it's challenging. So what I think we're going to continue focusing on figuring out how to do better is how do we consolidate the information and not send multiple emails for multiple products? And how do we make it a little bit more self-service for people at a business to find exactly what they need? They have access to it all, but potentially it's a master list of things that they'd have to search and scroll for. How do we make it easier for them to find what's important? That's, I think, kind of the next thing we should tackle.
Right. So what would be one piece of advice for somebody who is undertaking this type of process or trying to put together some engine for monthly product releases or recurring product releases?
I would say, one, don't be afraid of transparency. You need to get your message out there to get feedback on it, and that's going to help you be better. So don't be afraid of transparency. Talk to customers about something that's not committed, right? Like have that conversation and just set the right context. That's probably the number one piece of advice. The other would be, get on the phone with internal stakeholders and ask them what's working and not working, right? The product feedback form came out because years ago, we didn't have a centralized place for internal employees to add information. and customers were unclear on where to go to add their feedback, or unclear if they should send it to the account manager or their boss, right? It was just kind of inconsistent. So call your internal stakeholders and say, hey, do you feel like you're confident that when you have an idea or you get feedback from your client, that you know where it goes and how that influences our roadmap? If the answer is no, drill in, ask why, figure out how to solve it. And you might get different answers from sales, customer success, product management. So get alignment internally, because it's really important, as we started, it's really important to get product releases right, even if they don't feel as important as a big product launch.
Right. I mean, that makes a ton of sense. Tom, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me today. I've learned a ton, and I'm definitely going to take some of this back and build it into my own workflows. So I know some of the listeners will be doing the same.
Yeah. Hey, this is great. And I've enjoyed listening to the previous episodes. Happy to be able to be in one myself.
Awesome. Well, have a good one. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. We'll talk soon. Later.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Getting to Market. If you like today's show, hit the subscribe button and tune in every Thursday to hear from more marketing pros on how they run their product launches. I'll see you on the next episode.